Joan Didion, The Center Will Not Hold, is a biographical documentary featuring the life of influential American writer Joan Didion. It is directed by Joan's nephew, Griffin Dunn. Joan Didion, The Center Will Not Hold, enlightens the viewer with an unprecedented, intimate perspective on Joan's life and career accomplishments. The film features interviews from Joan herself, as well as close family and friends, interwoven with contextual archival footage and stills to visualize Joan's astute writing. Griffin Dunn is an accomplished actor, director, and producer. He'll be at the Woodstock Film Festival for a Q&A for the showing of the film, woodstockfilmfestival.com. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Griffin Dunn to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. It's very nice to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
How did this whole project come to be? Was this ultimately your idea?
Well, yes. In, just backing up, the subject of the film, Joan Didion, full disclosure, and don't try to hide it, is my aunt. So that gave me an inside track. There had never been, to my amazement, a doc about her or her life and work, because for the simple reason she never allowed anyone to. She'd been asked many times. And Joan, of course, knew I was a filmmaker and asked if I would do a film project with her that would be in line with the promotion of Blue Nights, her last book. And so we shot that. We made her prose. I sort of visualized her prose, and Joan and I went from location to location doing different things. And I cut it all together, and Joan loved it. And I thought I'd push my luck by asking, what about a feature doc? And to my amazement, she said, sure. And it was really as sort of simple as that. And then it was up to me to get the money and, more important, really do it right. She's a... an iconic woman who has many fans and many people. I've never been involved with a project that has such anticipation about it because of the subject. I mean, people really have been hungry for this, to hear her story and see what she's really like. There's very little, people really, they know her words, they know her on the page, but they don't know what she's like, in person. And she's always garnered a lot of curiosity.
Do you have to decide what part of the story you're going to hone in on, or what parts of the story you're going to hone in on?
Yes, and that is a moving target, when it comes to her work. My approach was to treat it like a Bob Dylan greatest hits album. the prose, the essays, the novels that she's most famous for is what I would be focusing in on. Although I in the very long version, I did pretty much all her novels, even the lesser known ones. And some of the material Joan read, and some of the material an editor of hers read, who's edited You're a Magical Thinking and other books. So I never wanted to have to keep going back to Joan to go, oh, listen, I just added this, can you read this? I stuck pretty close to what I thought I would be using.
So obviously, because of her story, much of the, it is a film about loss, personal losses, as well as what she is encountering through these moments of our history.
Right.
And it is, so with that in mind, does that set the tone, if you will, of the story that you're telling in the film that you're shooting?
I try to do that really even from the title sequence to sort of set the theme, which, you say loss, and I agree. It's also about a woman who's coming to terms with disorder, which is another form of loss and grief. And disorder not just in the terrible disorder that befell her and her family years later, but her writing coming to terms with disorder in American society and in the disillusion of the American family and the cynicism of politics and global wars and, foreign intervention and all these enormous issues that she tackled with these, with a very tough point of view that and opinions and insights that hold up to this day. And even though she would be writing about something that took place, you know, decades ago, it's still prescient and fresh and can be learned, you know, in the world today.
Given the close familial connection, do you feel that at the end of the project that you got what you wanted, that there were no invisible barriers there that stopped you from asking or doing what you wanted to do?
Yeah, a great question. You know, I always, this is my first documentary, possibly my last. I've always done narrative. So in terms of, you know, did I get what I was after, the process of making the movie, after every interview, I never had that I got it feeling. The way I do as a narrative director, because, you know, I'm willing the moments I want to have happen, and when I get them, I can move on. In a documentary, you can't will other people's reactions. You have no control over what they're going to say, if it'll fit your narrative, or, you know, you don't have a script to go by. So you don't really, until you've edited it and really sat in an editing room, you don't know if you have it. At the end of the day, everything that I could possibly have hoped for in this, in the moments and in the telling of Joan's biography, I feel I got everything. You know, the hardest part was, you know, getting the exact right balance between her family and personal life and her work. But, you know, is interwoven with her personal life and vice versa. So that was, you know, just sort of gerrymandering to get everything to be in the right place. There was never anything, there were certain things that were extremely difficult for me to ask. But it was about, you know, that were about our mutual family and her daughter and her husband and my uncle and my cousin. You know, having her relive, you know, really dark, sad, horrible, horrible times. But she's a journalist and understood that was my job to do it, and you know, never said anything that she ever, that she said, wait a minute, I'd rather you didn't say that, and never had those moments. So I think it's all there.
That was part of my next question of whether there was any sense that not so much that she would, as a journalist, understanding that of why you were asking the questions, but does she understand her place of what you were saying about at the beginning of our conversation, of how so many people want to know this information, they want this documented about her. Does she understand that connection and the thirst for that people have about her and about her life and about her work?
I think on one level she absolutely understands that, because her, you know, her talent and her gift is to see where things fit in American culture and the importance of other subjects, whether she would be writing about Manson or Jim Morrison or Janis Joplin. She knows where figures fit in you know, the arts and in the politics. So I'm sure she has that perspective about herself, but she wouldn't articulate that under torture. That's just not going to be a sentence she's going to say about herself.
Do you have a sense that what it is, that the necessity she had to write about, I mean, the most beautiful and the most personal of books about her husband, about her daughter, that there is that perhaps that same sense that she had of why she needed to write that to talk to you about it was also sort of went along with that necessity?
Yeah, I think if I'm answering you correctly, I think she says that she writes in order to know what she thinks.
Right.
You know, she doesn't consider herself a terribly articulate person. And if, you know, if she could say what her book was about, then she wouldn't see the point in writing it. I think her approach to this enormous wall of grief she faced, and to get through it and understand it, she approached it the same way she did reportorial assignment. And so she went into her own grief as a reporter and dealing with herself as a subject. I don't think she did it thinking, wow, what a great book this is going to be. No one, her publishers, Joan, editor, no one thought Your Magical Thinking would have the impact it did on people. They had to reissue hundreds of thousands of copies just when they saw the hunger for this.
Right.
It addressed, it helped people in a way that Joan didn't in any way anticipate. you know. So that was, and you know, the sad irony, it's probably the, not probably, it is the biggest seller she's ever had, and has made her work, it's become aware to a whole new generation of readers, and which, you know, I hope this doc will do the same as well.
The name of the documentary is Joan Didion, The Center Will Not Hold. It is directed by Griffin Dunn. It's a beautiful piece of work. Congratulations on it.
Oh,
it really is
much.
Amazing. It'll be shown on Friday the 13th as part of the Woodstock Film Festival at Upstate Films in Rhinebeck at 5:45 on the 13th. You can find out more information about the film by going to woodstockfilmfestival.com. woodstockfilmfestival.com. Griffin Dunn, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us, and we look forward to having you in Woodstock.
Look forward to that as well. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the film, Joan Didion, The Center Will Not Hold, directed by Griffin Dunn. All part of the Woodstock Film Festival, woodstockfilmfestival.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.